Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah, it's good to be in the company of family. That's what we are, family. Hey? Yeah, good. Okay, so tonight I'm sharing on a topic that is very close to my heart, and that is boasting, if we could go to the next slide, boast in the Father's love for you. How many of you know that that is solid ground? That's one thing that never changes, and that is His love for you. It's intentional. It's all-consuming. It's consistent. The Bible says it was the same yesterday, today, and forever. You were on His mind before you were conceived. You were on His mind before the foundation of the earth. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, let's do this ultimate confession of faith before we start tonight. So let's go. You can hold up your phone, sorry. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Next slide. Thank you. Let's go to Ephesians, or we can just read it. Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 21. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I've heard many times through different people that have preached that to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to spend more time in the Word. We need to spend more time interceding. But this over here says, look what it says here, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To comprehend the love of God. Next slide. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. How many of you know we are in a different dispensation to the Old Testament? Do you know that? I'm glad you know that. It's important to know that. So the Old Testament, before Jesus died, one of the commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You see, all the emphasis is on me. Do you see that? New covenant, New Testament. Your focus is on Jesus. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His only Son. Next slide. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next slide. John 1:42-50, you guys need to stay with me. We've got a lot of scriptures, but I promise you'll be going somewhere. So John 1:42-50. So this is an introduction to one of the most colorful characters in the Bible, Simon Peter. And it's wonderful because the Holy Spirit shows us facets of his life and different incidents that sometimes we can see ourselves in. We see ourselves so clearly reflected in the things that he does and the things that he says. Okay. So it says here, and he, Andrew, brought him to Jesus, Simon Peter. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon. The word Simon means reed. Reed means that it can be tossed to and fro by the wind. So how many of you know people that when they come to church on a Sunday, they're filled with the Word of God, they're inspired? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come Monday, have you seen the reception? The recession? Have you read the news? Are you going to vote? Where are we heading for? Okay. You are Simon, Reed, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. If you translate that, it means you will, which is translated into stone or rock, meaning Peter. In Luke 4, verse 38 to 40, Peter's mother-in-law is healed. Jesus goes into Peter's mother-in-law's house and she has a high fever and he heals her. So understand that this is Peter's first introduction to Jesus. So he sees Jesus and Jesus says all these things about him and then he heals his mother-in-law, good or bad, he heals his mother-in-law. And we go on. Sorry, next slide. There's a joke with that, but I won't. My husband says if you can't tell a joke, don't joke. Just rather keep to the script. So I'm keeping to the script. Okay, Luke 5, verses 3 to 6. This is Jesus now. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have been we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." See, singular. Jesus said, "Let down your nets." And Paul let down his singular net. Do you see, his trust wasn't completely in Jesus yet. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Next slide. Luke 5, 8 to 11. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Peter had partners. He had business partners. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Next slide. Matthew 14, verses 29 to 31. So he said, "Come." When Peter had come down out of the boat, okay, this is let me set the scene here. So what had happened was this episode had happened and they caught all this fish and then Jesus says, "Go on ahead and I will catch up with you." So off they go and now it's getting quite late and they're on the boat. And this is the scene where Jesus is on the water. So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. It's amazing to see that the same hand that caught Peter was the same hand that delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. Same God, same hand. Do you see that? Next slide. This is one of my favorite scriptures. So Matthew 16, 15 to 21 says, "And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you.'" So let me paraphrase this. So what happens is Jesus says to him, you see, it's not important who other people say that he is. Who do you say that he is? Do you understand? So Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And he says, "You are the Christ. You are the living God." Jesus is marveled. He's stunned. He says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." In other words, there's no way you got this on your own. How did you come up with this? "Must have been my heavenly Father. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Next slide. So let's set the stage again. So what happens is now Peter's feeling quite impressed with himself because he's just, you know, he's the man because now he's told Jesus who he is, and he's like to the other disciples, you know what? When you've got it, you got it. Similar to Brad. When you've got it, you got it. Sorry, Brad. It's like an easy target. So then what happens is Jesus goes on to speak about the upcoming events. So he starts to elaborate about how he's going to be arrested and how he's going to die. And Peter just can't comprehend this. So how's this? Look at this, Matthew 16:22. Then Peter took Jesus aside. Peter rebuked Jesus. Have you ever heard of that? He rebukes Jesus. He calls you, he says, come, I need to talk to you about something. So he says, yeah. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. How is that? In Matthew 16:23, but he turned and said to Peter, now this is very interesting. We so often misinterpret this scripture as Christians. I've been in church for quite some time, so sometimes we always misinterpret the scripture. So I would like two volunteers. Just, oh, come. Two, oh, cool. This is what I like, interaction, awesomeness. You look like you could be a Peter. Okay. So your role's not any better because you're going to be pretending to be the devil. Oh, sorry. Okay, so if we look at this and we see, you see everything you read in Scripture, you need to translate through Calvary. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father's heart in the Scriptures to you. So this is what happens. Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, he said that comment to Jesus. He rebuked Jesus and said, you know what? Enough of talk about this death business. So he turned and said to Peter, get behind me. Do you see he was protecting Peter? So here's Peter. Peter's doing his thing. He's listening to the wrong voice. Do you hear? The devil's chirping in his ear. Sorry. All the slang. So the devil's talking here, and Jesus is protecting Peter. He says, Peter, get behind me. Satan, do you understand? That is how that scripture goes. Do you see the clarity? He's not schizophrenic. He's not calling Peter Satan. Okay, let's go here. Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me. Satan, you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Do we understand? Okay, thank you guys. Let's give them a hand. So cool. Next scripture. Matthew 17:1-10. Okay, so it gets better as we get into it, because initially it was just an introduction to Peter and his relationship with the Lord. And then we see, so Peter's gaining confidence, you see. At first, Jesus said to him, no, let down your net, and he let down one net. And now he's getting confidence. Okay, he's getting confidence, he can do this thing. But now and again, do you see he slips up? That kind of doesn't it remind you sometimes of us, how sometimes we slip up? Be it in church, be it with a friend, we're not always what we should be, an example to them of the love of Christ. And then sometimes we feel condemned. Okay, so let's look at the scripture. This is like, seriously, you think, okay, Peter, you're really pushing boundaries. So Matthew 17:1-10. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his favorite three, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered, how's that? Look there. Moses and Elijah appeared. Peter answered. Nobody asked him anything. So here we go. Moses, Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. God comes into the picture. God reprimands Peter and says to him, And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Do you see, Jesus is in a class of his own. He cannot be associated with Moses, the law, and the prophets. He is in a class of his own. Do you see, Peter never had that revelation. He thought, okay, we'll build you a tabernacle, build you a tabernacle, build you a tabernacle. And God steps in and says, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." Do you get that revelation? And when the disciples heard it, because this is God talking, I would also, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, do not be afraid." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw what? They saw no one but Jesus only. Next scripture. John 13, 6 to 17. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing our feet?" Let me set the background again. So this is after they're having, this is the Last Supper, and everybody's sitting around, and normally the traditional, the culture is that the lowest, the servant of the servant will get up and wash everybody's feet. So now everybody's procrastinating. Nobody's getting up to wash anybody's feet. And Thomas says, "I doubt it's my turn again." I tried. I tried, eh, Tut? And Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." He's saying, "Lord, you can't wash my feet. How do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If I do not wash your feet, or if I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then not only my feet, everything, the whole of me, wash everything, because I want every part of you. So not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who's bathed needs only to wash his feet. But this is completely clean, and you are clean." This is very interesting. A lot of times in scriptures when we read, there's a lot of parallels that the Lord is saying to us. This here, specifically, if you look carefully, is talking about when he says here, "He who is bathed needs only wash his feet." Saying if you are born again, you only need to get born again once. Do you understand? We don't need to get born again all the time. When we suddenly get born again, get born again, get born again. You don't have to do that. Jesus says, "But also my hands and my feet." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet." So yes, sure, sometimes when we walk through life, your feet get contaminated. And then you wash it with the word. Do you understand? You wash it with the word. But you don't need to get born again all the time. Once saved, always saved. You have a very good, in fact, the best high priest and advocate. No one can compare. The price was sufficient. It was an overpayment for yours and my sin. Our salvation is sorted and settled. Okay, next slide. Luke 22, 31 to 34. Okay, so here's Peter. Now, this is the typical example of the type of Christian who boasts in their love for the Lord. Okay. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." He's saying, "Lord, I will never deny you." And Peter says, actually earlier on in the scripture, he says all of these, in fact, he points a finger at all the other disciples. He says, all of these could deny you, but I would never deny you. Very confident. And then notice Jesus says, "Simon, Simon," referring to his original name, the reed. Okay. He said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." So sometimes when you read this passage, you kind of think, what was Peter thinking when the Lord said that to him? Let's go to the next scripture. Matthew 26, 38 to 60. So this is after they've had supper, and Jesus takes his favorite three to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asks them to pray with him. Okay. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So Peter, James, and John, they stay in the one part of the garden, and we all know the story, how they fell asleep. Okay. So now it's interesting to note here, when Jesus says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, understand that he wasn't referring to the physical pain that he was about to endure. He was referring specifically to the fact that he knew the Father would have to turn his back on him because he would be carrying the sins of the world so that he, the Father, could embrace us. You see, if this was Jesus and he's standing, he's being nailed to the cross and he's standing like this, he's positioned like this, and he's carrying the sins of the world, the Father would have to turn his back on Jesus so that he could embrace mankind. And that is why he was saying he is sorrowful. Because to be without the presence of the Lord is something he's never known. Ever. So he was saying to the three, Peter, James, and John, pray with me. So we all know they fell asleep. So Jesus goes back to them. First time, Jesus goes back to them, and they're sleeping. And he says to them, I need you guys to pray with me. In fact, one time, Peter even says, my eyes are heavy. I can't keep them open. And Jesus says to them, pray with me, and he goes away. The third time, Jesus comes. Now, knowing what he was going to have to face without the presence of his Father, he allows him to sleep. He doesn't wake them a third time. He lets them sleep. He says, take your rest. That is just something I think our minds can't always understand or comprehend. John 18, 10 to 11. Then Simon Peter, okay. So what happens is the three are sleeping and the noise from the crowd that are coming to arrest Jesus wake the three of them up. That's how they wake up. And we know what happens is then Jesus comes to them and Judas comes to Jesus and betrays him with a kiss. Okay? And then what happens from nowhere, they're having this interaction, this conversation, and from nowhere, like a Jackie Chan movie, Peter jumps out. Wah! And you know what? I think the guy actually wanted to duck and it severed his ear off. And Jesus is like, what just happened? So Jesus ends up healing his ear. It says here there in John 18, you need to read your Bible, it's interesting. John 18, 10 to 11, it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Next scripture. Okay. So that is quite amazing to see if we just look at the scriptures that we've talked about now, how Peter comes through. And I just specifically picked out these scriptures so that you could see Peter's influence, so to speak. So if we can just do a backdrop to this scripture. So what happens, we know that Jesus gets arrested and he goes and they take him for trials, etc. And Peter follows from a distance. And three times he's challenged with the question, aren't you one of the men that were with Jesus? And the first time it was a woman. And he says, no, woman, I wasn't. Second time, a guy says to him, no, I'm sure you were one of the men that were with Jesus. And he's like, no, I wasn't. Third time, while he was still talking, the cock crows three times. Can you imagine how he must have felt to have betrayed his master and his friend? So Peter, everybody goes into hiding. All the disciples have gone into hiding. They are riddled with fear, Peter included. Not only that, he's got this thing in the bottom of his stomach where he knows he's betrayed his Lord and Master. So Jesus goes to the cross. Just to let you know, I just want to throw this in there. When he was being whipped, in those times, what they would do is they would have the prisoner and they would stretch them out. Okay, so much so, they would stretch them that the prisoner would be on their tippy toes, so like this. Okay, and then the saying was that the person who was doing the whipping, you had to whip your victim 40 times. Okay? But this is the thing. They had an agreement amongst themselves. This is the Roman soldiers. That before you got to number 40, your victim had to be dead. Otherwise, you would suffer the same fate as your victim. So you can bet your bottom dollar that those soldiers were out to take your life. So they were very intentional about whipping Jesus. We all know that he wasn't dead when he got to 40. But now I want you to picture this. Every whip, the word says, by his stripes I am. I want you to think of that. That's what he endured for you and I. So he goes to the cross. And remember I said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what was coming. And it wasn't the physical torture. It was the fact that Jesus would turn his back on him. So he's standing there. He knows that his Father's going to turn his back on him so that he can embrace mankind. After all of that, remember he cried out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? That's exactly at that point is when Jesus turned his back on him. We move it along a bit. He's hanging there and then he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathes out. Okay? Then we know, just before this happens, Jesus rises from the dead. Okay? And he must have said to the angels, you see, he still had Peter on his mind. After all the physical torture, after his Father turning his back on him, after all of that, he still had Peter on his mind. So he says to the angel, because this is what the angel says. So he must have said, don't forget to tell Peter. This is what the angel says in Mark 16, 7 to 12. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, this is what he says to the woman, and Peter, that he's going before you into Galilee, that you will see him as he said to you. Next scripture. So Peter, feeling the way he does, says to his disciples, or says to the other two disciples, James and John, he's got a heavy heart, he's betrayed Jesus, now Jesus is dead. Jesus said he would rise again, but this is what he stuck with, and he betrayed Jesus as Jesus predicted. So he says to James and John, I'm going fishing. So off he goes fishing. And while they're fishing, in John 21, 5 to 7, it says, then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him. So somebody from the shore is saying to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. And you will find some. So that rings a bell for Peter. Hang on. Jesus said that exact same thing earlier in the scriptures. So it's clicking. So they cast and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved. This is amazing. This is John. I always find this amazing. This is in John 21. So this is John giving you an account of what happens. John says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved the most. Do you see how confident he is in the Lord's love for him? Do you get that, guys? Okay, cool. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, okay, I don't understand this part. He put on his outer garments, which means he was naked, fishing naked. How does that work? Anyway, he put on his outer garments before he had removed it. And this is the Bible that said that. I didn't write it. And plunged into the sea. So he must have known. They said to him, "That is our master and savior." So Peter put on his clothes or whatever. And then he bolted towards Jesus. Next scripture. John 21, 15 to 17. So to understand. So now Jesus said to them, "Cast your nets on the right side and you will catch a multitude of fish." So that's what they did. And they caught a multitude of fish. So they bring it to Jesus, and Jesus is making them breakfast. But you can imagine the atmosphere. Because now what do you say? You know, he said, you know, you said you wouldn't and you did. And now how, what do you, where do you go to from there? So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah," okay, this is amazing. What I did was, each time in the English Bible, it shows you the word love, but the, you know there are different words for love in the Greek. Understand that the word agape only existed 2,000 years ago. Before then, it was non-existent in the Greek. That's the God kind of love. So, and it's interesting, earlier on, when we look at the Last Supper, Peter says, "Jesus, I agape you. I love you." That means God kind of love until death. And then he denies Jesus. So understand, he's in a place where he's very reverent about that word. He doesn't easily use that word. So here it says, "Peter, Simon, son of Jonah." You see, the Lord knows all. He knows where Peter's heart was at. And he's going to help Peter forgive himself, so to speak. So he says, "Simon, Jonah, do you agape me? Do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." This is a friend kind of love, a brother kind of love. So Jesus says, "Peter, do you agape me?" And he says, "Lord, I phileo you." And then he says, "Feed my lambs." He says for a second time, "Peter, do you agape me?" And he says, "Lord, I phileo you." You see, Peter was finally at the end of himself. He knew that he was only capable of so much. Finally, Jesus says to him, he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo me?" Jesus says to him, "Do you phileo me?" "Okay, Peter, do you phileo me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you." Jesus said to him, "Okay, feed my sheep." Do you see, after all of that, Jesus still said to him, "I trust you enough. Feed my sheep." Do you see, trust was restored, yeah? Next scripture. "Boast in the Father's love for you." Like I said before, initially, when Peter was introduced to Jesus, he was known as a reed. But God saw the potential in him. So he called him Peter, which means rock. Through all of that, through all the stories that we laughed about with Peter, and I hope you were able to see yourself or a friend that you know in some of, in some of the stories, he was transformed by the love of God to rock. And you know that Paul talks about Peter as a pillar in the church. As a pillar in the church. That is quite something. Sometimes as Christians, we feel that we try with our own sometimes strength to do certain things, and when we've missed it, we feel very bad. And then we think, oh, you know, the Lord can never use us again. But that is simply so not true. So not true. You are so qualified because of the blood. And if we've learned anything from the story of Peter, we know that his love is sufficient. We might fail you, God, because that's the best that we can do. But his love for us is that of agape. He sent his only son to die for you and I. So what I felt tonight was, if you feel that you've disappointed the Lord in any way, and you feel like there's a hindrance to you moving forward, I'd like you to lift up your hand. Okay. Understand that this is not about you. Fortunately, you can put your hands down. It's actually not about you. It's not about your self-efforts. It's all about him. The word says that we are saved through faith by grace. That we're here only because of Jesus, because of the finished work of cross, because of the finished work of the cross. I need a Savior just like you do. And we have the ultimate Savior. We have a representative, an advocate without spot and without wrinkle. So I wonder if we could pray for you. Would you stand? And then we can pray for you. So if you feel like you've been disqualified because of anything that you have done to disappoint the Lord, he's saying to you tonight, the good work that he started in you, he's faithful to complete it. He's faithful to complete it. So will the people around them just stretch out a hand or touch them? Father, I lift up every single person standing tonight. You know where everybody is at, Lord. Father, our focus is on you. Our focus is on your love for us. Father, thank you for the price that Jesus paid on the cross, that it was a complete price, that it in fact was an overpayment for all our sin, all our failure, and all our disappointments. So Father, as we are standing tonight, Holy Spirit, won't you come in such a real and tangible way? Won't you touch your people? Won't you fill them with your love? That they would know without a shadow of a doubt that your blood has sealed it forever. That they are approved and accepted by you. And that their lives will never be the same because of you. They are destined for success. Their best days are yet to come. I pray that over them. I declare that over them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So maybe some of you have heard us talk a lot about Jesus and a lot about the Bibles, and I've given you a lot of scriptures to think about tonight. But if you remember nothing else, I want you to remember this, that Jesus came to qualify you once and for all. He took your place on that cross, and he paid your sin, the price for your sin, once and for all. So if you're saying to me tonight, Amelia, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. Well, every head is bowed and Christians are praying. You would say to me, I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. I don't know that I'm a child of God. I don't know if I die tonight that I would spend eternity with Jesus. But tonight is the night that I want to be sure. Tonight is the night that I want my life to be different. I want my life to be changed. I'm tired of living life my own way. I want to give it to God. Won't you lift up your hand? Okay. Won't you pray this prayer with me? You can put down your hands. Won't you pray this prayer with me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for Jesus. I heard tonight that he paid the full price for my sin. He paid the price so that I could be reconnected with God. I accept his sacrifice. I accept the fact that he died on the cross and he rose again on the third day for me. Holy Spirit, won't you come and fill me so that my life is forever changed? Make something beautiful out of my life. I give my life back to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, the Word of God, when we receive it, you can only help but respond. That is what's different about the Bible in comparison to any other book. It's the living, uncorruptible word of the living God. Amen. Pastor Gideon.